Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup tests the new pavement in Fort Worth, Texas. Short track dirt racing, round two of the World Championship and one of the biggest races on the American calendar, had a feel-good winner. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, April the 10th, 2017. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight on the fastest half hour in racing. We are on racersreunion.com, Facebook Live, and speedwayreport.com. Incidentally, a look at the calendar, April 10th, it's Siblings Day. So, by coincidence, happy birthday to my brother, Steven. Not a race fan, not on social media, but as the little brother, I got to put it out there. He's older than me. Don't tell him. Hopefully this will get back to him somehow. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. Let's get right into the Speedway Report victory lane lap. Since the 2017 auto racing season began, from my calculations, this was the busiest weekend so far with all the results in cars and drivers that we chased for the past 3 days. Let's get to it. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Tour was in Fort Worth, Texas. Jimmy Johnson takes his first win of the year, puts the naysayers on to silence. Yes, he hasn't had a win all year. Yes, not too many good finishes, but the car has had speed all year. He spins in qualifying, flat spots the tires, puts new tires on the car, starts last on Sunday afternoon. Ain't no thing. He won his sixth race in Texas in his last 10 starts there. Yes, 7-time, looking strong to be 8-time. Saturday's Xfinity Series race in Fort Worth was won by Eric Jones in a Gibbs machine. The NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour had round number 2 in Thompson, Connecticut for the icebreaker. Rowan Penick, oh, this is great. He put Bowler Racing's, the old blue number 3, in winner's circle. How cool is that? NASCAR's K&N Pro Series East Tour, just down the road from me in Greenville, South Carolina, Kyle Benjamin was your winner there. IndyCars ran the Long Beach Grand Prix. James Hinchcliffe takes the double checkered flags yesterday. A year and a half, almost 2 years ago, he sat in a hospital bed clinging to life. I don't say that for dramatic effect. I say it literally. The bad wreck at Indianapolis, gets out of there, gets healthy, won the pole last year for the 500, finished in the top 5, had a little run with Dancing with the Stars, had a runner-up finish there. Now, takes his first checkered flag since before the crash in a couple of years. James Hinchcliffe stood atop the podium yesterday for the Long Beach Grand Prix. Formula One machines were in China, and overnight TV here on the East Coast had Lewis Hamilton winning the race for Mercedes. Now, Kevin Magnussen was 8th and Romain Grosjean 11th for Kannapolis, North Carolina's Haas Racing. So the U.S. guys almost had a pair of top 10s. Now, Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel are tied apart atop the Drivers' Championship with 43 points apiece. Mercedes is ahead of Ferrari in the Constructors' Championship by only a single point. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have a race on our hands this year. Look for Mercedes and Ferrari to duke it out. Ferrari has definitely made up ground in the offseason. Looking forward to Bahrain this coming Easter Sunday. Yes, racing on Easter Sunday. Good thing. Check into CNBC, I think it is, about 10:30, 11 o'clock Easter morning. Yes, we will be live with Formula One racing. The IMSA cars raced at the Long Beach Grand Prix as well as the undercard on Saturday. Ricky and Jordan Taylor won their third consecutive event for the prototype cars so far this calendar year. I got some little bit of dirt going on with that race as well. Kind of blew up about an hour or two ago on social media. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. The Lucas Oil Late Models ran the Bad Boy 98 in Batesville, Arkansas, where Littlefoot Tim McCready cashed the check for $20,000. World of Outlaw Sprints were in Somerton, Arizona last Friday night. Brian Brown won the A-Main. Saturday night in Queen Creek, Arizona, Rico Abreu was your main event winner. The ARCA Tour was in Nashville, Tennessee. Chad Finley won the Music City 200 on Saturday night. Got to get back to the fairgrounds there. I haven't been in several years. I like that track, not too far from me. Side notes, I'm thinking on myself. USAC Midgets raced in Kokomo, Indiana for a doubleheader Saturday and Sunday night. Brady Bacon took the checkered flag on Saturday night. He thought that was so cool and fun. Well, he did it again last night. Got out the broom. Bacon sweeps the Midgets in Kokomo, Indiana. The opening night for the Grandview Speedway up in Pennsylvania saw Kevin Hurthler win that race for the small block modifieds on the 1/3 mile dirt oval. And the Southern Modified Racing Series raced in Kenley, North Carolina. Brandon Ward won his third straight event to open up their season on the Southern Modified Racing Series. Let's talk about the news and what's going on in the world of motorsports. First of all, I want to say hello to all of our new friends on Facebook. Within the past week, since we spoke to you last, we have had probably a little bit over 600 likes somewhere in there. We jumped from there all the way to over 900 as of airtime tonight. We made some comments last week paying our respects to Mr. Sam Ard, NASCAR future Hall of Famer in my book, passed away last week, and I think some of his fans and followers jumped on board with our show. So welcome. Hope you're all tuning in tonight and enjoying it. Thank you for liking our Facebook page. Thank you for being on board with us here at Racers Reunion. Now, I complain enough about the world of motorsports, why I care deeply about it. I point out what I think should be changed. Well, yeah, I bitch, I moan, I'm on my soapbox from time to time. Let's start this show off with not that, but some feel-good stories, some good news, some good news. I talked about the modifieds, the icebreaker race up in Thompson, Connecticut. 150 laps there. Checkered flag comes out. Rowan Penick, your winner. He was driving the Bowler Racing number 3. The original owner of the 3, Lenny Bowler, has passed away. The family has continued the tradition of that blue number car with the gold number 3 on the side of it. Has carried so many legendary modified drivers in there, has modified series championships, just a fixture on that tour and in Northeast racing, kind of like a Wood Brothers 21 or a Petty 43 on the upper levels of Grand National racing. Bowler's number 3, first time I saw that car, it was a Vega, and Freddie DeSero was behind the wheel in the mid-70s at the same track, as a matter of fact, Thompson, Connecticut. Homemade stuff. Lenny Bowler was about as crafty a fabricator as you are ever going to meet. There's all kinds of urban legends and some true stories of his race hauler swinging through a junkyard on the way to the track. And this is in the 80s. This is in the 90s, the day when a lot of store-bought pieces were available. He came along. He was still building his own stuff, getting pieces out of a junkyard. He raced very economically. Literally built everything, made everything that he could. A fixture on the tour, just an absolutely traditional car. And that thing, been several years since the car had won with any driver. I know it's got a championship with DeSero. He had a longstanding rivalry with Jeff Bodine Sunday nights at Thompson. Bodine had some slick fabricated stuff. DeSero in the Bowler homemade Vega, and you had nice slick piece of work there with Bodine, and kind of like a rough and tumble looking number 3 with Freddie DeSero. Two of them duked it out a lot, and DeSero just a master of driving the Northeast modifieds. Years go by. Bowler has different drivers with championships in the car and a winner all around, and it's been a while. The car has been a mainstay on the modified tour. It's been a while since it's won, and Rowan Penick puts that car, of all places, Thompson Speedway. Here we are in 2017, over 40 years since I first saw that team race modifieds up in New England. They sit in victory lane at the icebreaker. The other feel-good story, how could you not love James Hinchcliffe winning the race? 2 years ago, 2015, qualified for the Indianapolis 500 during a practice run vicious crash into turn number three. He has a puncture wound in his body. On the trip from, I can't remember the numbers right now, but the trip from the Speedway crash site to the hospital, the ambulance crew, the paramedics, pumped more blood through his body than the human body holds. That's what kind of a serious situation we had here with Hinchcliffe and this crash. He comes back, one of fantastic comeback. 2016, he won the pole for the Indianapolis 500, finished in the top five. Didn't win the race. That would have been the great storybook, but he came back last year and ran the IndyCar Tour. In the off season, you saw him over the wintertime. So many people did as ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Did not win, but he came close to second place. He probably channeling his inner Elio Castroneves. Came so close, I think Elio gave him the business about that by not winning it. But anyway, Hinchcliffe hasn't won a race in a few years. Finally, one of the biggest races, too. I dare say next to the Indy 500, the biggest race in IndyCar all season long. The Long Beach Grand Prix, James Hinchcliffe, a winner there. That just was a feel-good story. Social media very brightened that moment up quite a bit last night. Speaking of social media, just I want to say like an hour. Let me look at the clock here. You know, it's not that within an hour, maybe less, hour and a half ago, had a good Twitter throwdown. I want to see here between Sage Karam and Sean Rahal about a crash that happened Saturday in the IMSA race. There, two guys tangled. Robert Ellon driving in his car tangled with Jeff Siegel, and Siegel was not happy. Kind of got in the window of Ellon's car, two thumbs up like this, but a very sarcastic move. Guys looking at the move that he pulled to cause the crash weren't happy about it. Rahal goes on social media, called them a wanker, and called them a, you know, family's money buying a factory ride. Sage Karam came to his defense, and then that kind of threw pace car was in, and the green flag was out on a Twitter battle between Karam and Rahal. Now, just about when we came on the air here, I think Karam had deleted a lot of his tweets, but the stuff was very entertaining as the two of them lobbed ping pong balls back and forth to each other. So if you are on Twitter, the best course of action if you want to read some good stuff and entertainment, go to Sean Rahal's Twitter account, and you can follow the action back and forth. I kind of got the popcorn out, was checking it out, was following the two of them back and forth. I'm debating whether to talk about it a little bit more or send you guys to Twitter and maybe just watch that. But if you want some good dirt, I started the show off with some good news, some feel-good stories. I'll dive right into the sewers now. If you want to go, head over to Twitter, look at Sean Rahal's account, and see what he and Sage Karam were bouncing off each other. I thought it was pretty funny. Shots were fired. Get out the popcorn. Enjoy. And it may still go later tonight. I don't know. We're about 7:45 on the East Coast here in the U.S. This could still go a little bit. We had a moment about 10 years ago in NASCAR, I guess at that point, what was it, Nextel Cup or Sprint Cup? Anyway, you guys might remember this. At Talladega, not too many cars were DNFs in the race, but you might remember that day when all the Hendrick engines failed. All four out of the Hendrick Motorsports stable, they were supplying two sets of engines. Those engines failed as well. They had one of those days. I want to fast forward to yesterday here in 2017, and Andretti Autosport had one of those similar days. Michael Andretti's cars. There were 21 cars on the grid at the Long Beach Grand Prix, four of them coming from Andretti Autosport. Ryan Hunter-Reay, Marco Andretti, Alexander Rossi, and Takuma Sato. All four failed to finish Long Beach. When is the last time four cars from Andretti Autosport failed to finish a race? I think this is the first time it's ever happened. None of them were in a big pileup or anything like that, but man, they had some mechanical problems, each and every one of them. Ryan Hunter-Reay was second to Hinchcliffe with less than, I think, about five laps to go when his car just quit running, and he said it was an issue, the same issue that plagued him at Pocono last summer, rolling right along, and for some reason, one of the module boxes gets hot, and the engine just quits running. That seemed to be the problem yesterday. At least the engine just quit on him. Not sure why or what happened to it, but it was one of those disastrous days for Andretti Autosport. Marco was out within the first few laps, puzzling. He had Rossi go, Sato go, and then Hunter Ray just cleaned out the whole stable there. Just a few laps left in the race. But all of them falling victim to mechanical failures. It wasn't an issue. Only five cars did not finish the race. Four came from Andretti. So it's not a Honda issue, I wouldn't say that. Definitely not a Chevrolet issue. No issues there. But a definite problem with Andretti's cars as opposed to anybody else's. Likely, it's a common denominator. I'm going to bet it is. When they go through, look at all four cars, probably something in that shop is a common denominator. The parts supplier, the guy that did it, whatever the problem is, likely it all came. That's a self-induced shot in the foot right there. Andretti Autosport. Same as that weird situation we had with Hendrick about 10 years ago on the plate track at Talladega. And how about Kyle Larson? Second place for the fourth time in six races this year. I said a few weeks ago that several weeks ago, this guy is the hottest thing in NASCAR, still holding it up. He had the pole at Martinsville, didn't crack that top finish like he has been, but here we are, back at another mile and a half, back at Texas. Comes through, not a superstar all day, not a lap leader like who is it, Ryan Blaney led a lot. We had Joey Logano up front for a little bit. Kyle Larson, a little bit of a silent assassin going on here. Not bothering at all. Just comes home with another second place finish. Now, Martinsville a couple of weeks ago, tougher place to get a second. A lot is out of your control there with how tight that place is. I think that's why we love it so much. Place is awesome. Fantastic. But anyway, yesterday at Texas, after 500 miles, you do kind of sort out what happened or where you are. Kyle Larson with a fourth second place finish. Some guys don't get four second place finishes all year. We've had six races in 2017, and Larson has four second place finishes. Talked about Jimmy Johnson. Gosh, he's had a lot of naysayers, including myself. What's wrong with Hendrick? What's wrong with Hendrick? What's wrong with Hendrick? I got to say nothing. He's had speed every week, which I'll admit I've noticed a little bit, but not too much. But they keep stepping on their own toes, much like Andretti Autosport, shooting themselves in the foot week after week. This happens, that happens, that happens. So the guy spins around on Friday or Saturday, cannot start the race on the tires he qualifies on, needs fresh tires, starts shotgun on the field, not a problem. 500 miles later, he's hosting the six shooters in Victory Lane in Texas. Not a bad deal for him at all. That puts him in the playoffs, makes him the haters that are not looking forward to Jimmy taking over that crown number, his eighth crown possibly. Another issue altogether. You guys know I don't like playoffs. But anyway, he does have seven title wins, looking for number eight. This does not bode well for the Jimmy Johnson haters out there, of which I'm not. I am an old school guy. I don't prefer the chase or the playoffs, but I give credit where race wins are due. I think this puts him up to 81 race wins. Jeff Gordon is in third with 93. David Pearson second at 105. You've got Cale, Darrell, and Bobby Allison all in the mid-80s. Yes, very reachable and attainable goals if Jimmy Johnson keeps going. And this makes 16 straight years that he has won a Cup Series race. The Texas racing, I want to say that the Speedway did all they could after a repave. Worn out pavement always makes for the best racing from a fan and a ticket buyer's point of view. But eventually, that pavement, when it gets old, passes a threshold. You do need to repave it. There's no other way around it. Repaving leads to one groove tracks, and Eddie Gossage and that tire monster did everything they could to try to lay down a second groove of rubber and provide some good racing. There was no grip and a narrow groove on Friday. It looked like not a good race weekend. Saturday's wasn't that spectacular with the Xfinity cars. Sunday's wasn't bad. There was some decent racing there. For a repave, I thought it was pretty good. Let's see. I want to go to Sam Bass, the famous auto racing artist, particularly NASCAR. Designed so many covers for the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So many portraits of his are on sale at the studio not far from Charlotte Motor Speedway. Done a lot of artwork, designed a lot of paint schemes and uniforms and things like that. Matter of fact, the first one he ever did, got paid for professionally, won the Daytona 500, Bobby Allison's car in 1988. Those gold colors for Miller, yes, designed by Sam Bass, that wound up in Victory Lane. Anyway, he put it out on social media over the weekend. He is starting dialysis and needs a kidney transplant ASAP. He's had lifelong diabetic struggles, so he's in need of a kidney right now. So if we could send out some prayers to him as he needs a transplant. Now, in 2008, Sam Bass lost a lower portion of his left leg due to difficulties with diabetes. And in 2014, a blood infection led to septic shock on him, and he needed four surgeries within 3 weeks just to survive. The way this man carries himself in public and smiles and laughs and loves life, you would never know any of this happened to him. But Sam Bass, right now, we could use he could use our prayers, as well as well, hopefully a kidney transplant, a donor can be found for him very soon. I do want to say a tip of the hat and hello to everyone, like I started the show, every one of Sam Ard's friends and family. Since we were on the air last Monday, I was able to make it to the funeral services last Wednesday down in South Carolina. Got to see the family again. Got to see Mrs. Ard and all of the Ard children, most of them anyway. Large crowd on hand at the church and at the gravesite. Wonderful to see him with the honor guard from the United States military. Sam is an Air Force veteran. I was privileged and honored to see the family and just be part of the day and paying our respects to one of the great men of NASCAR, a future Hall of Famer. And if any of you are tuning in tonight, welcome to the show, and thanks for being along with us. The Racers Reunion was started with the preserving the foundation in the history of stock car racing here in the South. We've grown from that. We've never abandoned that. We do other things now, but we certainly appreciate everything that the pioneers, and our utmost respect to everyone that started this sport, and the shiny cars and millionaires of today were built on the blood, sweat, and tears of the men of yesteryear that built stock car racing. Everyone in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. We've got Speedway Report TV replays posted on the site. Just head to the top ribbon and click on the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show as well as archived programs. We've also got columns there from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and me. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for your production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family tomorrow night on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with Racing Through History. And don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time right here on RacersReunion.com. Big thanks to everyone in the chat rooms for tuning in. Great to be part of your family, and thank you all for being with us each Monday and Tuesday. Now, I ask you, did you tune in late to my show, or you want to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of the network's programs? You can simply catch up like this. We produce live content every Monday and Tuesday. We replay 24/7 throughout the week. You can just hear it by clicking on the radio player on the Speedway Report and Racers Reunion websites. Simple as that. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, take care of yourself and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and you can follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I am Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from the Bahrain Formula One Grand Prix. the world of motorsports, short track action, and racing's hot topics. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Happy Passover and happy Easter, everyone. Good night.